我也当阿多我在哪里全部基本金卡通都是买个罗，基本的上班上我都上班的基本钱得了路都少，他把这边浪姐浪姐天冷不怕死，那我得上班工作我得了安用上班，他把等于乱七八糟的基本路套工作的呗，我得接他的呢我得。他就是他，我说他了。昨天都工作过的上班堂，原来就用过的上班尼玛的呗。昨天都工作过的上班堂，昨天是过的上班差距。他你把工作过的上班的嘛的呗？你把工作过的上班的，我得哪里去把三节拿来，我得三分多。你把工作去女人上班了送，三节送人多啊。可是我得哪里去把三节都回来点一下呢？我得三分多啊。
Once again, we're looking at Lama Tsongkhapa's great treatise on the stages of the path to enlightenment. And specifically, we're looking at the section dealing with training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. When we go through that section in terms of the outline, we find that there are four categories that explain that main topic, training the mind in the stage of the path shared in common with beings of medium capacity. So first we have the mental training, and then the second category, the measure of the determination to be free, third category, dispelling misconceptions, and then a fourth category, which is ascertaining the nature of the path leading to liberation. So when we get under the first category, which is the mental training, and the actual mental training is renunciation, the desire to definitely emerge. So that's what it's speaking of. And then we find two categories there. First, the identification of the mind intent on liberation. So identifying that desire to definitely emerge, identifying renunciation. And then the second category, which is method. The method for developing that actual renunciation, the method for developing the mind intent on liberation. So when we get to that second category, the method for developing the mind intent on liberation, there's two categories. First, reflection on suffering and the origin of suffering, and then reflection from the viewpoints of the 12 links of dependent origination. So under the first category, reflection on suffering and its origin, there are two categories, reflection on the truth of suffering, the faults of cyclic existence, and then reflection of this process, or on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So we've gotten through those faults of cyclic existence, and now we're specifically dealing with reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So it'd be very clear then, if we start by looking at the outline of that actual section, the origin of suffering, then the tsar. The sache lama sun, the ewa sun lama sun.
Yeah. That the neba kunyun kuyu yunin sangpa la sun, yomun ji tsu, lesu bi tsu, chibu wa jiwa lim tsu, tsu sache sun re duwa.
Lesu.
That the ne... Chibuwa to jiwa lebi chu, chibuwa to jiwa lebi chu maribe. Nyeba kunyung kuyung yore sangpa la, song, nyomo chi chu, nyomo bide chu chi, le sa bi chu, ane le sa ne kuwa le jiwa le hati chibuwa, sa chi song dikiduwa. Tata nyomo ngon zonwa, tata nyomo chi chu tila, ane sa chi chi renduwa, nyomo ngon zonwa.
So once again, we begin with the outline so we can understand it. So when we look at this first, the major heading of this section that we're dealing with, it's reflection of the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So that has three major categories. How the afflictions arise, how you then thereby accumulate karma, and then the third category of then how you die and are reborn. So we have three categories: how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and how you die and reborn. So we've been kind of jumping around through the, this is a translator's note, through this section in order. And now we're up to page 298 in the English, if people want to just kind of get up to where we are currently. So I'll let you know if it changes or we skip anything. But we've basically gone through the section on the medium scope up to here in this description Rinpoche gave of the outline and so forth. So we have then the three categories: how the afflictions arise, how you thereby accumulate karma, and then how you die and are reborn. So then the first category of how the afflictions arise has four categories: identification of the afflictions, the order in which they arise, the order in which the afflictions arise, the causes of the afflictions, and then the faults of the afflictions. So those are the four categories that we find under that first heading of how the afflictions arise, among those three headings under the major heading of reflection of the process of cyclic existence in terms of origin. So we begin with how the afflictions arise. So when we're looking at how the afflictions arise, we have to first give various definitions. So we first give the definition of affliction generally. So this, the general word affliction, what is the definition of that? And then specific definitions of afflictions. So this is the way it will be explained. So we begin with first the definition of affliction in general. And it's defined as a phenomenon when it arises as disturbing in character, and that through arising disturbs the mind stream. So we find there's a disruption in the mind stream. So when we look at the word affliction, and we look at what category it would fall under, when we divide consciousness, consciousness is divided into two categories: mind and mental factors. So when we, the word affliction then falls categorically under mental factors. So if it is a affliction, it is necessarily a mental factor. We find that certain words are synonymous when we're looking at the different types of... there are certain words that are synonymous when we're looking at the points that we're making. So consciousness, awareness, and knower, so Sheva, Lo, and Ripa, these three are synonyms, so they're synonymous. So when we look at how we define these various things, when we define mind, mind is defined that as that which is clear and knowing. So we define mind as that which is clear and knowing, and then it then is a category that is not, I'm sorry, afflictions do not fall categorically under that. So afflictions are not mind, that which is clear and knowing. Afflictions are necessarily mental factors. The definition of awareness is knower. So Rinpoche gave various definitions. He gave the definition of consciousness, Sheba, that which is clear and knowing. He gave the definition of awareness. The definition of awareness is a knower. Those were the two definitions that he gave. And then Rinpoche stated that consciousness, awareness, and knower are synonymous. So when we look at the explanation of mind and awareness in the Tibetan tradition, we'll see that it's divided into various categories, explaining it in terms of the seven, in terms of three, or in terms of two categories. So we have the mind and awareness divided into seven, mind and awareness divided into three, and mind and awareness divided into two. Then nisu ewa sheba dang semjung.
Sendang semjung nisu ewa.
Sendang semjung.
Nisu ewa.
The dun sum.
Samadang semi nisu ewa. Then ewa mambu yorwa. Ta sendang semjung nisu sheba la, sendang semjung nisu ewa. Ta sendang nabar sheba sheba marbe. Ta sendang asu migi nabar sheba, nai nabar sheba, nai nabar sheba, chi nabar sheba, luji nabar sheba, iji nabar sheba, truma tu yomaru. Ta asu wote migi nabar sheba, nai nabar sheba, nai nabar sheba, chi nabar sheba, luji nabar sheba, iji nabar sheba, nabar sheba tru. Wote ka asu kanga luyo dere ta.
Then this sam.
San ro san.
San
tru do san.
Then san jo.
Ala san de lo de san.
Okay, so when we divide mind, I'm sorry, I'm going through various things. Rinpoche is giving a lot of definitions and divisions, and I just want to make sure they're all accurate as we build our lexicon in this class. So when we look at mind, mind and mental consciousness, we can divide that into six categories. Eye consciousness, ear consciousness, nose consciousness, tactile consciousness, eye, ear, nose, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, and mental consciousness. So these are the six types of consciousness that we divide mind into.
Ta migi naba sheba ta nai naba sheba. Naba sheba sa naba chu nga su ngala sin dhamma yin sa su malbe shegu rwa. Shegu dhamma chi.
That's so.
Ni shegu nalu zonye dhamma dhamma mudwa. Zonye mambu shamma pich.
That's so.
What number she was she would have been jet, and all Zuni number the moment over there, Sanjun, Tuas and Duchess and the Water Negri, Sheba Naluko, Sidic Chamuvius, that is.
Then the Yonder, the Samjung, Sidic.
Make it number she was Tangalas and Damage,
Lasso.
Then all the number she could Tuanga, your mother, Tuan Duchess and Ba. What to look at all day, number she be Chasilius at it. Nabashiva Galasin Namaji,
Lassa,
Tenal Zunia Dabana Mosha on the pitcher.
Lassa,
Tendamaji go at the UGB and the Union Icha, UGB Chowat, the Sheba Removers, that is. Sanjung.
The actual consciousness itself, so when we look at the divisions of the eye consciousness, ears consciousness, nose consciousness, tongue consciousness, tactile consciousness, these various things are almost like a mirror. And we have various forms and so forth that they apprehend. And then the mental factors actually make it a clear apprehension. So there's a discrimination that takes place, and then you have feeling and so forth that are connected to the mind that is acting as the actual glass that it's reflecting off of. And then the mental factors serve to experience that actual reflection mentally, so there and mentally physically, so there's that experience of it that the is the mental factor. Let me just look up one thing. Then the Samjung Nga Rinpoche.
So there is
a clarification that's taking place when the mental factor experiences the reflection of whatever it, of it is. So the mental consciousness is reflecting it, and then the mental factors are experiencing it in terms of feelings and so forth. I think that's it. Nyitsampa Diksu. So we have a feeling, discrimination, intention, contact, and mental engagement that's taking place with these omnipresent mental factors. Diksu, the
Kangalasu.
So when we look at the word afflictions, and we look at the twofold division of consciousness, which is mind and mental factors, afflictions are necessarily fall categorically under mental factors, not under mind. So
when we then we find in the how the afflictions rise, there are four categories. First, identifying the afflictions. Second, the order in which the afflictions arise. Third, the causes of the afflictions. And then the fourth category, the faults of the afflictions. So when we get into the first category, identifying the afflictions, there is first the broader general definition, or the general definition of affliction, and then the individual afflictions definitions. So the general definition of affliction is a phenomenon when it arises, is disturbing in character, and that through arising disturbs the mind stream. So this is the definition of the general definition of affliction. Diksum.
So when we look at the various specific definitions of the afflictions, we find that there are 10 afflictions specifically that are defined. And when we actually look at and categorize these 10, we'll find that there are 5 that are view, and then 5 that are not view. First we have attachment, second we have hostility, third we have pride, fourth we have ignorance, fifth we have doubt, sixth we have the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, seven we have an extremist view,
8, we have a belief in the supremacy of wrong views. 9, a belief in the supremacy of ethics and religious discipline. And 10, which is wrong view. So desire, hostility or anger, pride, ignorance, and doubt fall under the category of non-view. And then the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, an extremist view, is a belief in the supremacy of wrong views, a belief in the supremacy of ethics and religious discipline, and wrong view all categorically fall under afflictions that are view. So the first five are afflictions that are not view, and then the last five are afflictions that are view. So making for a total of 10. Bhikṣun.
This one. What the Nyamuchut Nol Tonga to Tamil Tomunga Tonga, Taminga, Shamanga to Tonga, Tonga, Yamutu Sankarasana, Tatanola Tene, Kuchitik Nyamutu Tonga loading.
So the first five are viewless, and the second, we can call it that. It's just literally in Tibetan, not view. View. So the first five are viewless or not view, and the second five are view. And the reason they're called view is that in dependence upon those views, the other afflictions arise. In these view, one has these views, and then these views give rise to these other non-views, attachment, hostility, etc.
Bhikṣun.
So let's look and at and read the Lam Rim Chemo, page
298.
When we look at this section on how the afflictions arise, Jayan Sheba divides it into three categories. First category, how the afflictions are the root of cyclic existence, and then second, need to abandon, and Rinpoche said we'll get into the others. So this first category, that they are the root of cyclic existence, means that in order for cyclic existence to be created or to arise, it's necessary for the causes to be present. So those causes are karma and the afflictions. But among those two, karma and afflictions, the afflictions really are chief. The afflictions are the root. Just like if someone has a seed, it's necessary to have the water and the earth and the sunlight and so forth in order for it to be produced. So these things act as cooperating conditions for the seed to give rise to a sprout. If these cooperating conditions aren't present, then it's not possible for the sprout to arise. Likewise, these afflictions serve as cooperating conditions for the karma to give rise to cyclic existence. So if the afflictions are not present, then cyclic existence can't arise. This experience can't happen. And this is why foe destroyers do not have to experience cyclic existence. In their beginningless lifetimes, they have accumulated these seeds of karma, karmic seeds of cyclic existence, or that would give rise to cyclic existence. But they no longer have the afflictions present. So the afflictions not being present make it so there is no cooperating condition present. Therefore, there cannot be the arisal of cyclic existence, just like that seed that's lacking all of those cooperating conditions can't give rise to a sprout. So it's necessary to have karma and the afflictions, but those afflictions are really the primary, and then without them, there is no cyclic existence that to be experienced. Then Diksum. So let's now look at the Lamrim Chemo. Read the Lamrim Chemo, please. So reflection on the process of cyclic existence in terms of its origin. The origin of cyclic existence is explained in three parts. One, how the afflictions arise. Two, how you thereby accumulate karma. And then three, how you die and are reborn. First category, how the afflictions arise. Karma and the afflictions are both necessary as causes for the creation of cyclic existence, but the afflictions are primary. For just as a seed without moisture, soil, etc. will not produce a sprout, so in the absence of the afflictions, even though you have accumulated immeasurable karma in the past, there will be no sprout of suffering because the karma lacks the necessary cooperating conditions. Let me see. I just want to make sure we stop there. Le sarpa sa de chiran la lo sung rinpoche.
What the letter nyomu wa yin jin dan kwa nyomu yu su nyomu res.
Bless him.
Nyomu me na kasa ji le chan li de wa yu jan nu kwa li jiwa len tu ma res. Nyomu yu na lansan nyomu ku le sa ne kwa li ku yu res.
So a further reason afflictions are primary is because even without previously accumulated karma, if afflictions are present, you immediately accumulate new karma and will thereby appropriate aggregates in the future. And then we have a quote. I didn't read far enough, so I just wanted to make sure I read everything. So the root of the arisal of cyclic existence is the afflictions, and they serve as the cooperating conditions for that arisal. Diksum.
CBC le nagi siba kwa marve sansara CBC le nagi siba ku ne nyomo bale nyomo bat bon sabina sibisile nage yu ane dajung balas bu so jula ko penje le yu de leje penu mai des ko al job he do mares tanji je bu se juro tanji je ju nyomo se beje nyomo bu pon se beje dajung ba yin beje what does one thing some about
So if we ask, where do we find this presentation that states that the afflictions are the root, are really the chief or primary? And then Lama Tsongkhapa points out Dharmakirti's commentary on the Compendium of Valid Cognition. And it says, the karma of one who has transcended craving for existence lacks the potency to project another birth because its cooperating conditions are gone. Here, craving for existence is referring to cyclic existence. So one will not have another rebirth in cyclic existence if it says transcended craving, if the afflictions have been transcended, if one has separated from the afflictions. They are no longer able to provide that cooperating condition that is necessary in order for the arisal of cyclic existence to take place. It says it lacks the potency. So the propelling karma can't give rise to that because it doesn't have that cooperating condition that's needed. So this is the reason that Lama Tsongkhapa states that one must have these. So in the case of a foe destroyer has transcended rebirth and cyclic existence because the previously accumulated karma lacks potency. It lacks potency because the cooperating conditions, which are the afflictions, are not present. So this is how we look at this quote and understand it. So the second category is that the abandonment of these afflictions is necessary, is very important. So the first category is that the afflictions are the root. The second category is the need to abandon them and why it's important. So this second category is the need and the importance of abandoning the afflictions. Let me just read the tale of this giant, of the quote from Dharmakirti, because the aggregates will arise again if you have craving. That all fits into the first category. Now the second category, the need for abandonment. Consequently, it is very important to rely on a remedy for the afflictions. Moreover, since this requires understanding the afflictions, you should become knowledgeable. So it ends, consequently, it is very important to rely on a remedy for the afflictions. Digson. Tsik chi. The ewa nipa tsik chi. Okay, so it's just that one sentence there for that second category. So then the next category is the requirement of understanding the afflictions, so becoming knowledgeable about the afflictions. And then that is divided into four categories. First, the identification of the afflictions. Second category, the order in which they arise. Third category, the cause of the afflictions. And then fourth category, the faults of the afflictions. So that's under that third category in Jayan Sheba's outline of the knowing the afflictions or understanding the afflictions.
Mm-hmm. Yomo bin yemi saji shi di gudwa
je. That's so. So these will be explained by way of the 4 points: identification of affliction, order and of arisal, causes of afflictions and faults. Ne?
Oje ta den nyomushi ta nyomushi cheni do de nyomushi cheni nyomushi cheni ne su su borisna ne lebe ne tome ge wo de kudul son do kul tule chu kan ane chu kan ju wa na ro do ma ju shi bi cheni de jo de se chu wi se ji ju ro do ma ju wa yunwa te nyomo bi chenyi toos nyomo bi chenyi to wate she sunba tar wate she sunsu kundu je she sunba tar ta jirma che tinte she jiong marba kaan che ba na shen ju roto ma je wa she ba woos wate nyomo bi chenyi te kundu lu sunga yari janda teres ya
so now we start with identifying the afflictions so again we find the two categories will be here. We'll have two categories here: the general definition of affliction, and then specific definitions of the affliction. So it begins with the general definition. So where do we find this? We find this in Master Asanga's Compendium of Knowledge, where there's the general definition of affliction. It says an affliction is defined as a phenomena that when it arises is disturbing in character, and that through arising disturbs the mind stream. And then Lama Tsongkhapa puts in a sentence there to clarify it and says, thus, when it's produced, it disturbs the mind stream. So we find these 2 points made, the actual definition from Asanga and then the side point of clarification by Lama Tsongkhapa. So then the mind itself, so when we're looking at mind and mental factors, and we see that the afflictions are mental factors, so the mind itself serves like a mirror. And then the mental factors serve to have this experience. So this mirror that the mind is compared to then apprehends, and then there we have the afflictions, such as a lack of faith or ignorance or some of these mental factors that then kind of define that reflection, or that kind of clarify that reflection. So, or it's not really clarification, it's more of a response to the reflection. I'll figure out a better way to put it, but respond to that. So you have, when you look at some examples, you have non-faith, or we have embarrassment, or we have ignorance. We have these various things. These are mental factors, and they're connected to what this mind is apprehending or reflecting. It's similar to the example of the I consciousness that is apprehending and then having some kind of feeling towards. In this case, we have this arisal of an affliction that is a mental factor that is in rising from the actual mind itself, reflecting whatever that is. So now we get into the individual definitions of each. There's
got to
be a better way to explain
it.
So now we'll have the definition of attachment.
Yuduba yidongwa la mi ne jesu chapa te zela nung shoba na zela nung shoba nung kawa jin to dayan rangi meba la shen jin cheba ne meba tatan dewa dewa kawa wos wotege dosha tseni wotein sari ane shenwa nagi ngobo tan dosha meba tali yidu mwa chila mini dosha chikari madu yidu mwa la ten dosha chikari madu duba yuba mayina dosha yuba kalan jurus yu duba yu yidu mwa tunwa jimena dosha chikari madu yis duba sen yidu mwa madu be duba yuba mayina dosha yuba kalan juru mudu yuba mayina shetan yuba kalan zawa shiro zawa shiro le duba yuba mayina dosha yuba kalan yu duba yidu mwa tunwa jimena dōshā chikamā rēs. Yū mūdūbā tūngā tā mēnā khuṇḍu chikamā rēs. Dūbā yōbā māyīnā dōshā yōbā kālān jūrū. Mūdū yōbā māyīnā shētāṁ yōbā kālān jūrūs. Yū dūbā yū yīdūngā. Yū yīdūngā. Yū yīdūngā. Shī yū yīdūngā. Anna shī yū yīdūngā kāmbā yōhā rē. Mātāṁ wātā mōndā tāntā mūndā mūbā yōhā rē bā. She yu yi dong wang, mong zha kamba ma xin da, wada patang pa mo. Wada zi yi dong wang, tunga la ten dwa sha che yung kare zi re. She yu dong wang, shang. Na ki wada she ten kamba ta mong zha la su barwa. Na ki yu yi dong wang, ta patang pa mo ta ha. Wada su la ten dwa sha che tu kumar be. Na ki...
Nangi?
She si na, she kamba ta, kar ta, What is the Dezachigro? Sayatuan Adam. What Sa Kalashimu and Dezachigro? Chatuan Shimu and Orinjitan. What is the Dezachigro? She don't want. What is the Marbe?
Then Nangi?
Sure, Nagi, you don't want. That Nagi, you don't want. That Nal, that you don't want. So much toward the woman, toward the war. Toward the wall attendant Dezachigro, Marbe. And to toward the wall is on.
Okay.
No, so Dezachigro.
Lesser.
The chag you de pitchy reja you don't want the injury. Tell attend Dezachi what then toward the Marbe, toward attendant Dezach.
Okay, so
Shedanagi. You do by you don't want la, you she you don't want, Kambala Suba. Nagi you don't want. Then Mala Soba to Sumarbe, and then Nagi, you don't want Dawa. Dawa Latin to Haji to Wazirwa. You don't want La Mine, Jesu Chaba De, Zela, no Shuba, Yunkawa, Jinto, Nayan Ranki, Mibala Shenjin, Chiba, Nemibatan, Tawaka was, Dushat Wate, Dushat Sings to Batangan Dusata.
Okay, so now we have the definition of each of the individual afflictions. And first we begin with the definition of attachment. It says, attachment means noticing a pleasant or attractive external or internal object and desiring it. When attachment clings to its object and grows stronger, it is hard to tear yourself away from that object, just as it's difficult to remove oil which has been soaked into cloth. So here it says one is becomes attached to inner and outer objects. When one sees an attractive outer object or experiences some sort of attractive inner object, such as a happy feeling, then one becomes attached to that object of observation. So it's necessary for there to be an attractive external object that one desires in order for, or an internal attractive object that one desires in order for attachment to take place. And we find in Nagarjuna's root wisdom text where it says, were there no desirous one, moreover, where would desire occur? If there wasn't something to be desired, then the actual attachment could not occur. And likewise, there has to be something that is found unattractive in order for anger to occur or aversion to occur. So unattractive or just unpleasant. So it's the opposite of what one would like or be attracted to, the complete opposite of what would cause aversion or anger to take place. So so when we look at reactions, attachment comes about because there is something that one is attached to or desires. Anger comes about because there's an object which one does not desire or finds desireless. This is how attachment arises, what's necessary for its arisal, and it shows how the attachment clings to its object and then grows stronger. So we'll take a short break. It's Sawa Shera, you're right. Speak some Rinpoche.
This one. What that the name of the Shadow Hundreds is what the Chival Jusun the Carasana, Taji Pomba my Matans, your Moma Pomba Jugures, your Mopon the Shadow Hundred Womaro, Taji Pomba my Bat, Taji Pomba my Men, you didn't your one never dance, and then the Shadji you, your one never. Conduce you, And
so in order for an affliction to arise, so afflictions such as attachment or hatred, aversion, there have to be three specific things present. First, there has to have not been a prior abandonment of the affliction. So in order for it to arise, there has to not be a prior abandonment. There has to be the object that gives rise to these negativities, such as attachment or hatred, has to be close. It has to be within proximity. So the attractive object that gives rise to attachment, or the unattractive thing, the unpleasant thing that gives rise to aversion, has to be within proximity, has to be there, the object that gives rise to it. And third, improper mental conduct has to take place. So for instance, if we see a form that we believe is beautiful, then we have put all of these kind of exaggerated qualities on it with our mind. So this is the improper mental engagement that then makes us become attached, or that we put all of these negative qualities and to an object, and we find it quite unattractive and think about it, why it is, give reasons why it's attractive, reasons why it's not attractive. That thinking is improper mental conduct, and that also has to be present in order for the afflictions to arise. So if one has abandoned the afflictions, then the afflictions can arise. So this is the first category, that one has previously abandoned the affliction. So then there has to be an object, for instance, in the case of attachment, that one's desires, a desirous object, present and within proximity or present, in order for this affliction to arise. So the object of the affliction has to be there. So then, also this improper mental conduct that thinks and gives all these reasons why something is attractive must be present in order for attachment to arise. And this is what is said about attachment and its arisal. So then we get to hostility, and all of these have to have these three that just mentioned. So hostility means observing origins of suffering, such as living beings, pain, weapons, or thorns, and giving rise to a harsh, tormented mind that contemplates harming these objects. So in dependence upon these objects, we have a form of suffering that takes place, and then we become angry. So we have sentient beings, pain itself, weapons, thorns. So we see this unattractive nature, or we find these things as unattractive or repulsive, or they repulsive. And then we want to harm these objects. We have hostility towards these objects. So this is how they arise. So in dependence upon the suffering, the anger arises.
Then
the ducha don control tun tugdu gangin sena shejayin.
So when we look at this, the word
attractive or unattractive. We don't say that things aren't attractive or unattractive. So we don't say that there isn't this nature that they can have, because Buddha is able to see things that look attractive and things that are considered not attractive, because they are established bases. They are objects of comprehension. So therefore, there are these things, but the Buddha doesn't have attachment. The Buddha doesn't have anger. So there isn't this kind of conda. There isn't this relationship that takes place with the object and the apprehender that takes place in the case of an ordinary being with a Buddha. Because these negativities aren't present, the reaction to attractive or unattractive doesn't take place. So there is attractive and unattractive, but the Buddha doesn't respond to it. It just is. And the reason that the Buddha cognizes it is because it's an established base. It's a phenomena, and the Buddha cognizes all phenomena. The attachment and aversion or hatred are mistaken views. They are mental factors that are mistaken views. So therefore, those are not awarenesses that the Buddha has, because the Buddha has no mistaken view.
So
when we look at attachment, so for instance, one liking his or her teacher, this would not be considered a form of attachment because this would be under the mental factor called faith. Or one having faith in his or her parents or liking his or her parents, this wouldn't categorically fall under it. But that emotion that's shared between a boy and a girl, this would be considered attachment. So we would say that there are many different forms of attachment and things that are not attachment, depending on what they are as far as a category and the actual mental factor that is actually driving the apprehension. So when we're liking a teacher or liking a parent, the actual faith is the mental factor driving it in the case of a teacher, not the mental factor of attachment. So there's a lot of different ways to look at it, depending on the actual subject. So number three is pride.
Okay,
so number three is pride. It means observing either internally or externally qualities that are high, low, good or bad, and based on the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, allowing your mind to become inflated, you assume an aspect of superiority. So in dependence upon the grasping at the true self of persons, one has this pride that takes place, this inflated view of oneself. And here it says, observing either internally or externally, so qualities that are high, low, etc. So externally we could say, oh, my food is the best, I have the best drinks, my house, my car, all of these things are the best. So in dependence upon these outer objects, we have this inflated kind of mind that takes place. So it says your mind becomes inflated. You assume an aspect of superiority. I have a better house. I have a better car, etc. And then when we look at the internal pride that might take place, we would the nangi yunten garre yanju surunang the bu garre.
The nangi yunten suzun zeba.
So these inner qualities where we would say, we would think to ourselves, I have a beautiful, my body is beautiful. I have these wonderful qualities personally. I have these wonderful qualities. And then based on these internal thoughts, we then we have this arisal of pride, this inflated idea of ourselves where we feel superior because of our internal qualities or our external objects or things that we possess, that in dependence upon our mind inflates. Deekson, she also mentioned the feeling that one has when one has a boyfriend or one has a girlfriend. This feeling of pride that takes place because of those objects. Deekson, gongen mei bachi.
Tena wa de jubu ji ne ngali juwa mei nga bo yang aje juwe sa yue sa yore.
Jubo, mo mambo ngu mei na.
Ngu mo mei ba. Ane kari ne jubu juwe ba yina. Wa de ngat ju shu yin pe duja yi. Kari sa wala nga wa de jubu yin nga bo yang aje juwe sa yue sa nzu yin sung yore.
So we also say, for instance, if you're very poor, and you were to say, oh, I'm very bad, or I am very, very poor, then this would also be an example of pride. So feeling like the lowest, feeling that you're the worst, is an example of pride as well as feeling superior. So both of these are examples of pride.
And
this is the definition of pride. So pride, the definition of pride is observing either internally or externally qualities that are high, low, good, or bad, and based on the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, allowing your mind to become inflated, you assume an aspect of superiority.
Mariba do the Lendilla Mum Mariba, the Conanilla Mum Mariba Nigan on the Dombudu with the Lendilla Mum Mariba Dabudua. Mariba ne, Dangita, Lendita, Conchuga Rajilla, Lumeseu, Ne Meshibi, Numujan was, what the Lendilla Mum Mariba Tanija Horus, Tanga to Conchus Garda Santa Bayina, and then as to Shilma, Meshiba's daughter. What the Nichan is our answer. And the damage of the garden is in the Mashiba Juro. Chivang Hashima, you had a mess in the Mashiba Juro, or to some Mariba inside. Chuna de Omaruba Garazana, Mashiba Juote, Mariba, the two inside. Dambaje Mashiba, Dambani Mashibote, Marilendil Mum Maribas, what the inside.
So ignorance means possessing the affliction of misunderstanding on account of a mind that is unclear about the nature of the four truths. Karma and its effects, and the three jewels. So here we were explaining this type of ignorance that is ignorant, ignorant about karma and its results. When we look at the categories of ignorance about the nature of reality, ignorance about karma and its results, the karma and its results category, we find ignorance about the Four Noble Truths. Not understanding or knowing the Four Noble Truths, ignorance about future and previous lives, ignorance about karma and its effects, ignorance about the three jewels, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. So here this is a state of not knowing, a non-understanding of these, and This is number four. And also believing that phenomena has some sort of true establishment. This misunderstanding is also a type of ignorance.
Now we get to...
So we get to number five, which is doubt, and it categorically falls under that which is not view. So these first five are non-view, afflictions that are not view.
So number five, doubt. So when we look at the definition of doubt, the definition of a doubting consciousness is a knower which by its own power has qualms in two directions. So a qualm in two directions means is it or isn't it? When we read here, then in the Lamrim Chembo, it says doubt means considering those three, the four truths, karma and its effects, and the three jewels, and being uncertain whether they exist or are real. So they do or they don't. So this is what doubt is referring to. It's a knower by its own power having a qualm in two directions. So two separate directions. It's how it's defined in the low rig texts. So when we look, I forgot one thing. So when we have this qualm in two directions, we say, is there or isn't there dependent origination? Is there or isn't there future lives? Is it or isn't it truly established? So this is what the two qualm in two directions means. And when we divide doubt, we divide it into three categories: doubt tending to truth, equal doubt, and doubt tending towards the false. So when we look at doubt tending towards false, if we would say, is the self permanent? It probably is. So this is doubt tending towards false. If we look at equal doubt, we would say, is the self permanent? It may be permanent, it may not be permanent, it may be impermanent. So this is equal doubt, and then doubt tending towards the truth is a doubt that says the self is probably impermanent. Is it impermanent or permanent? The self is probably permanent. So this is doubt tending towards truth. So these are the three types of doubt. And doubt is defined as a knower which by its own power has qualms in two directions. And those three types of doubt there are three divisions of doubt.
Deeksum.
So in Aryadeva's 400 verses, we find a quote that says, those with little merit won't even consider the Dhamma Madhrupa, the Long Yajur
Sura.
So Aryadeva's 400 verses that says, those with very little merit will not even consider this, in parentheses, emptiness. Those who even have a doubt, those beings who even have doubt, shake cyclic existence, or even have a doubt about it, shake cyclic existence. So this is speaking about emptiness itself, whether emptiness is or isn't. So those who have even a doubt about it, meaning are considering it, shake cyclic existence. And it says those with little merit don't even doubt it, don't even consider it. That's very close to the exact quote, but I encourage you to look it up. It's in Aryadeva's 400 verses. So we finished the five viewless afflictions, and now we get into the five that are view.
So number six is the afflictions that are view. So it's the reifying view of the perishing aggregates. It's an afflictive intelligence that observes the appropriated aggregates and regards them as I or mine, that is, as the self or that which belongs to the self. Here, since perishing means impermanent and aggregates is plural, the terms indicate that what are apprehended are simply impermanent and multiple phenomena. There is no permanent and unitary person. This is why it is called the view of the perishing aggregates. So we have this I that is a collection that comes together. And then this collection is impermanent. So the collection itself is impermanent. But this view, which is wrong, which is an afflictive wisdom, so it's an afflictive, it's called afflictive wisdom or afflictive intelligence, is one that observes this collection, these aggregates, and then the things that one feels he or she possesses. Based on this observation, posits an I and a mind.
So one sees, has my arm, or my house, or my car, or my government. And then dependence upon these establishments, my body, my consciousness, establishes the person as some sort of single unitary person. But it is not, but one establishes it as such in dependence upon these things that one apprehends, one's aggregates, one's parts, one's collection, and then what one considers his or her own, feels there's ownership. So in dependence upon these collections and these things one feels one owns, there's an establishment of an I that one feels is unitary. So that's what is meant here by number six. So, believing that this arm is my arm, is the grasping at the true self of persons, but the lack of true establishment of my arm itself is the lack of true establishment of phenomena. So when we say the lack of true establishment of mine, the mine, my arm, then that would be of person. But the arm itself, when we look at it as a separate subject, the subject arm is not truly established, that would categorically underfall under lack of true establishment of phenomenon. Then nge lapi.
Laba ngai yimbasana. Ngai labasana churota. Laba ngai yimbasana otelmi undu khajak dazilen ura.
So when we say that this this arm is mine, my arm, when we have this my part, then this becomes a grasping at the true self of persons. But the arm itself as a separate subject, the grasping at the arm, not my arm, grasping at an arm as being truly established, is grasping at the true establishment of phenomena. So until there has to be a person involved in order for it to be a lack of true establishment of persons, and the persons putting mine makes it part of the collection that the person apprehends. I think it makes sense to everybody, so I'll stop there. Stop telling it three different ways. So when we look at the lack of true establishment, the lack of true self of persons, my lack of true establishment is a lack of true establishment of persons, and your lack of true establishment is a lack of true establishment of persons. But your lack of true establishment of self of persons is not the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, because it requires this I or mind. It requires there to be a person, an I, a self,
So therefore, it isn't the reifying view of the perishing aggregates if it's your lack of true establishment of self of persons, unless it's my lack of true establishment of self of persons, because then it my lack of true establishment of self of persons would categorically fall under this. So it would actually be my true establishment of self of persons. So it would be the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, a belief that this there is a truly established self of persons. So my view of that is this reifying view. So I think that makes more sense. How many permutations are there between Kansak Dazin Dan Jita? How many permutations are there between the reifying view of the perishing aggregates and the grasping at the true self of persons? Are there four permutations, three permutations? Are they synonymous or mutually exclusive? Rinpoche is asking a question. So we would say that there are three permutations, because if it is the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, it is necessarily grasping at the self of persons. But if it is the grasping at self of persons, it is not necessarily the reifying view of the perishing aggregates. If we say posit that which is the self of persons, but a not a reifying view of the perishing aggregates, we would say your the kansai jendai dazin, your grasping at true self of persons. The subject you're grasping at true self of persons is grasping at self of persons, but not the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, because it's external, it's not mine, it's yours. So we would say there are three permutations. Nika yimbo mu sho sirna?
Less so.
And if we were to say something which is both the common locus, we would say my grasping at my or the true establishment of my or mine. My or mine, I or mine. So this grasping at the true establishment of I or mine is the reifying view of the perishing aggregates and grasping at true establishment of persons. So when we look at the varying various texts, we would say this this subject of those things I possess, mine, those things I possess. The Panchen Sunandrapa says
that
Yine, the Panchen Sunandrapa Garikele, the
Nayo Kansa Mayin,
Bene Kansa,
Nayo Ramon Drozin, the Kansa Dazi.
Yine, Nayewa Kansak Mayin, then Kansak Dazi Kandre, Kansak Dazi, the Panchen, the Kansak Mayin, then Kansak Dazi.
Nayo Ramon Drozin, Jita.
So we find in various texts, mostly they say that these things that we ascribe as ours would categorically fall under the grasping at the true self of persons. We find some differences, but we find normally where we would say that those things that are mine or we possess are not person, but ascribing mine to them makes it grasping at the true self as person. Even though they aren't person, the grasping at them as ours make it grasping at true self of person. That's what it is.
So we find this pension, and Rinpoche said he thinks also Jayan Sheba, where this grasping at mind is grasping at true self of Tirasins. Nge ewa kansaga dazi yin and chita yin. Kansaga yin, yin e kansaga dazi yin. Nga ewa rangon
rukan zeba de chita yin, kaza ma yin. Kansaga yin ba ta kog rangon rukan zeba de chita yin chaba ma yun. What the cook I over on to one is about the not on to one's in the waters, Karak dances, Kung Kaza Maina, Kur Ramon to one is about the not the rooms in the waters.
So there is this object of which is mine is not person, but because I feel that I have this grasping at this true self of person that is ascribing mine to them, or ascribing that this possession of mine, we state that even though this isn't person, it's grasping at self of person because we're establishing the I in dependence upon the object that we're establishing as mine. So by establishing that which is mine, we're establishing the I which is possessing it. Therefore, it is the grasping at self of persons, because we're establishing a person based on a possession that the person has.
Shirama Dudba to one Jita to what they not an Ayo Lamine, Raja to be zero to one Zuba, Jita Rabaris, Jita Rabba.
Ran
Shirama Dudba and Dudba was to suke Jita Josena, not an Ayo Lamine, Raja to be zero to one Zimmy, Ziba the Little Shadows.
Raja to be
zero to one Zimba, Pumbalo, Mazuan Mateba Zundi, Jabuta Vida.
Mm. So in the Great Exposition School and the Sutra School, when we ask to posit the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, we find, I'm going to miss one sentence here, I apologize, I got to look it up, but we find a very coarse form of this self of persons that state that is established by this I and mine. But solely this self of person, the tatsuta. I'm missing three words, so I'm not able to clarify. But the point is that it's a very coarse reifying view of the perishing aggregates. It's not a subtle one. It's a coarse form that shows the absence of self, and then this is the opposite of the absence of self in that. School and those lower schools.
What Danjita Rabat the Tramo, what in Shadwata Uma Tajuba Jena Ramon Juven Zimba, Jagarwa, Rajuba Jena Rajubi, Devatuven Zimba, the Jagarwata.
In the middle way school, in the middle way autonomy, in the middle way consequence school, we find that there is this feeling of independently, the grasping at some sort of independent establishment is the this reifying view, is this grasping at an independent or a separate establishment. And the autonomy school would also say that is the reifying view of the perishing aggregates, is this independent establishment of this I, this independent establishment of mind. And so that with the middle way school establishes it is that. It's something to do with the mind in the lower schools, because it's just the emptiness of self is established in the lower schools, but not a phenomena. So there's some sort of, I just have to look it up.
Yes.
Just to clarify, so my car,
it
is the emptiness of person, is I'm establishing a self or a mind.
Nye mota dzimba, the dembi drupa dzimba gari yinba. Nye mota. So this would be grasping at the self of phenomena.
The lapa
Okay, so if we're saying my hand is I, then it's the grasping at the self of the lapa ngai yimba. If we're saying that my arm is me or I, grasping at the arm as my, then it becomes the grasping at the self of persons. But if we're saying grasping at the arm itself, the arm is, then that becomes grasping at the true self of phenomenon. So if we're saying that the arm is me, grasping at this arm is me, this arm is me, then this is grasping at self of persons. If we're grasping at the true establishment of just arm, then this becomes the grasping at the true establishment of phenomena. So your car would be phenomena, but if you were saying your car is you somehow, if you establish you as your car, then that would be persons. Make sense?
If
we slowly think about it, then you'll understand these things. Okay, so we'll do the concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. I apologize for any confusion, but it really requires knowing kind of these outlines and then where the points are fitting into in order to understand some of this stuff. Because Rinpoche was just saying them straight out as quick definitions and divisions without really a lot of points around them. So in the parts where I was translating and such, that really was the way it was being presented. And it was more of like a, here's some information you can later go look into, just as a note, because it was just kind of put out in little parts. So concluding mandala offering and dedication prayer. The fundamental ground is scented with incense and strewn with flowers, adorned with Mount Meru, the four continents, the sun and the moon. I imagine this as a Buddha land and offer it. May all sentient beings enjoy this pure realm. I dedicate whatever virtues I have collected for the benefit of the teachings and of all sentient beings, and in particular for the essential teachings of Venerable Lozandrapa to shine forever. I send forth this jeweled mandala to you, precious Guru. I dedicate all this virtue to emulate the knowledge of the hero Manjushri and likewise Samantabhadra as well, with whatever dedication is praised as supreme by all of you who traverse the three times. I also dedicate all my roots of virtue for the sake of auspicious deeds. In that pure land surrounded by snowy mountains, you are the source of all benefit and happiness, all powerful. Kishvara Tendinyatso, stay until samsara's end. I pray for the long life of the precious Kinsir Wandok, upholder of scriptural and realizational doctrines, the spiritual friend who trained extensively in the five great philosophical texts with exceptional wisdom and perseverance. Tuji Rimchi Guji Shabi Denma. That's the Lam Rimchemo Kong.